Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
Faith lights up the darkened plain. Mile by mile we bravely ride, with God's goodness as our guide.
We got a freedom in Christ. We don't know what to do with our freedom.
Yeah.
We'll get a reset. We don't know what to do with the reset. And then I'll say it this way. Everything I ever thought about how it was has been wrong. And I'm having to relearn it all.
Yeah.
And some of that's been a slow wrangle.
Yeah.
How do you operate without a hierarchy when all you've known is a hierarchy? How do you operate as equals, mutual submission, when it's never been modeled? You read about it in Jesus. You believe it's what exists in the relationship of the Trinity. But
yeah, that's where life was created.
Yeah,
life was born out of that relationship.
And that's what the circle dance we've been brought into. But I can barely hear the music, and I still hadn't got in step with it just yet very well.
What is it? Eugene Peterson in The Message talks about the rhythms of grace.
Yeah, the rhythms, the unforced rhythms of grace.
There you go. Spontaneous living. That's what Norman Grubb called it.
That's what he called it. Abundant life, I guess Jesus called it.
Life in the Spirit, what Paul called it. Be filled with the Spirit. I think it's just living life.
Well, yeah, it's not hard. It's just unpracticed, unmodeled, unseen, not believed. It's questioned because... I go back to everywhere you go, it's a law-based. The way of this world seems to be the environment that you're in, and how do we set our affections on things above?
Yeah.
How do we begin to repent and believe the good news that the kingdom of God is here?
Yeah, so reality is your life is hidden in Christ and God.
That's the greater reality.
The kingdom of God is within you.
So how do I live from there rather than getting pulled into what everybody else is doing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I don't find that easy on an ongoing daily basis.
Yeah, maybe what some of the writer of Hebrews talking about when he said, strive to enter into this rest.
Yeah.
Is that how he said it?
Mm-hmm. Labor to enter into rest.
Yeah.
Old King James.
Yeah. Might be. But we're just getting exposed to the reality that, you know, God finished his work before the foundation of the world.
Oh, which is a different way of thinking.
Yeah, Scripture says he entered into rest on the seventh day. I don't know how to... I mean, he finished it, but he entered into rest on the seventh day. So he had a plan. And he just implemented that plan, and then he went back to rest.
Yeah.
And Scripture doesn't say he's come out of that rest. He's still resting.
Mm-hmm.
And we get we're a part of it. That dance, that life, that rest. Yeah, it's a big difference. Man, you got to get out there and make your own way.
Oh, yeah. Got to make it happen. Got to take control. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The difference between taking dominion and having dominion. Mm-hmm. We have dominion.
We do.
This world says you got to take it. Yeah. God says, no, you have it.
Yeah, that's
But I go back to the night before Jesus was crucified. He takes a towel, washes everybody's feet. Here's the greatest. Here's God in human flesh. He's about to have the most difficult day of his life. It's weighing on him. But what's he doing? He's serving. He's serving.
Yeah.
And he's like, the greatest is the servant. Where do you ever see that at? Other than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we go back. If I go back to the thought of, if I can see that in Christ we're one, and everybody is in Christ, then I quit creating these categories of you're in, you're out, you're better, you're less than, you're separate. You're included, and begin to think, no, everybody's in, everybody's important, everybody is one in Christ.
Everybody has significance.
Everybody has significant value.
Because of who they are, child of God, mm-hmm. created in His image and likeness, loved of the Father.
Yeah, and that's true of everyone, and can I just love the one in front of me?
Yeah.
We all have limits, only... You can only know so many people, have so much time for so much. You may want to, I guess we could discuss, I ain't want to have the discussion. Somebody could make the argument of what's the best use of your time with spending it with certain people. Mm. But even that thought process, I think, is flawed.
Get to hang around the snobberies.
Yes, yes.
So that you can accomplish something.
Right. Well, I see it all the time that the five people that you spend the most time with creates the destiny of your life. You know, so are you going to hang out with a bunch of winners or losers?
That bull crap.
Right, but I'm not saying that doesn't have some validity to it.
I'm going to live in the destiny of my Father.
Well, yeah, it discounts that. It discounts that. It separates people into winners and losers. And then it's like, well, I don't have time for you because
you're not of the caliber.
You're not helping me achieve what I want to achieve.
Yeah. That's good insight there. Yeah. I need to hang out with you for my purposes.
Yeah. So everything now becomes transactional.
Mm, what can I get out of this?
Well, that's right. That's right. And when you cease to help me achieve my goals, I have no purpose or value for you.
Oh, dang it, son. Yeah. Quit that.
I know.
You're looking at some of the friends that used to be in my life.
You and me both. We go down a list of mutual friends that when I had value to help them achieve their purpose, they called me every week.
Mm.
And when I quit serving that purpose, I ain't heard from them since.
Mm.
And I'm like, I thought we were friends.
Yeah.
But apparently I was just...
You just wanted something from me.
You just needed something from me. And
I'm reminded of that scripture. Jesus said something about knocking the dust off your feet. That's how I feel about it.
I don't know about that.
That's taking it out of context.
Probably.
I'm not going to bend over backwards to try to have a relationship with somebody like that. I'm not. I'm not saying I won't have a relationship with them, but I'm not going to bend over backwards to pursue it.
Well, yeah, to have a relationship, it takes two. You can keep your door open. You can initiate. You can offer. and you can leave that door open.
Yeah.
But you can't make somebody come in it or want a relationship.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. But you, I find I have to watch that because I don't want to have a heart that's not full of love, that's pure and honest,
yeah.
Not hypocritical,
yeah.
Even as I talk about it.
Yeah.
Because any of those people might call me today and we're back to a relationship.
Yeah.
And not sit in judgment of, are you calling me because you just want something out of me? Or are you calling me to be a friend? How do I stay out of that judgment seat?
Yeah.
I think that's the real practical outworkings of the gospel.
Yeah.
How do you do that? And just being, just abide in love with everyone as they come in and out of your life.
Yeah.
Even if, I'll say, even if their motives for coming in and out are inferior, less than, or selfish.
Yeah.
Can I keep my motives pure?
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it. I've got to worry about old Larry over here abiding in Jesus and the love of him.
That's right.
With people.
And when you do that, love conquers all.
Yeah.
I think in doing that, that's where God accomplishes his tasks. Working in us, filling the earth with the knowledge of his glory.
Well, they got a lot of rain here. It's water.
It's flooded.
Flooded.
We're flooded this road. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, good thing we didn't go down that gravel road. Yeah. That hill will be slick this morning.
Mm-hmm. Be off in that ditch.
Got that tree.
Spree,
well,
spree.
Look at here.
Been over a year ago, we come down here and turned around. They got it going.
This is a different bridge than that other one that said detour. Way back down there it says detour. When we turn the convenience store.
Maybe. Yeah, there's probably one on down the road, I guess.
There, what's this little body of water?
Dorchy.
Who?
Dorchy.
This is Dorchy. Runs down to Midland?
Yep.
Okay. A little more, well, it rained. That's why I guess it's so much water up here.
Yeah. Yep.
And now that I think about it, when I was...
It's closed. There's probably another bridge. When you think about it.
Yeah. All I was thinking about yesterday's rain is I was watching the radar. It just now dawned on me that this part of the country... That line of thunderstorms was moving through.
Yeah, Texas. It comes through Marshall.
Kind of.
We could get in the creek right there, boy. This Bible, man. Oh, that's what I was going to do. I was going to read that. I was reading Ephesians 3, I think. And just, I don't know, it was good. And I wrote that deal I sent you. And I'll read it to you. We can talk about it.
Oh, I think that's a good idea. Is this the one you sent to me the other day?
Yeah. The resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, is the catalyst of God our Father's great restoration operation. This unfolding plan, deeply rooted in endless love, revealing the unlimited riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, through our union with him before time, the mystery that was hidden from the ages, that we are his inheritance and he is ours, and he, by his mighty power, is accomplishing infinitely more than our greatest requests, our most unbelievable dreams, exceeding our wildest imaginations. He is outdoing them all, bringing us fully into our divine destiny. For he is one, and we are united with him. He is our Father, the perfect Father, leading us, working through us, living in us, bringing about the restoration of all things, subduing all of his enemies, making them a footstool for his feet, beating swords into plowshares, bringing about the fulfillment of all things in him, in Christ, reaching the climax of the fullness of the ages, making all things new, and God will be all in all. This, the hidden mystery of his long-range detailed plan, reigning supreme through every period of time, is constantly bringing him great pleasure, as he always is accomplishing every purpose in his heart. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, as the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Yes, you, my friend, are included in this great story of love, restoration, and glory. Come home to the Father. The party has already started.
That's good, James.
I was reading Ephesians the other day, and I had the thought, you know, it's resurrection, Easter, and I just started writing.
All right, you want to go back to the top? And
yep.
Talk me through that a little bit.
The resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, is the catalyst of God our Father's great restoration operation. And I guess what I would say about that is it's the proof and the reality and the truth, however you want to say it, of what God desires and has purposed for planet Earth, for the universe, the cosmos. And the resurrection is just the revelation of what he is. I mean, it's new. It's a new world. It's new life. It's resurrection life. It's restored.
Yeah.
Things have, that's the catalyst. And now the plan is unfolding through awakening hearts, embracing what God has done in Christ, in reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses.
That's good. Well, it's many things. The resurrection gives proof or assurance, and you that how do we know this is real? How do we know that it's true? How can we, you know, how can I believe it? You say it, but how do I know? Which is the whole point of how do we know God's this way? Well, Jesus came and gave us living human proof of that, becoming a man, living as a man, and then his crucifixion and resurrection. And it's how we know he is who he said he is. He can do what he says he can do. His promises are true. It's the fact and the proof of it, but it is also like you said, the unveiling of the beginning of something different. The recapitulation of and the restoration of all things.
That's what verse is that? Acts 3:19, I think.
It's the restoration of all things.
But it's the way that he says it. You don't have to quit talking.
Well, I'm trying to think of what he says, the restoration of all things.
This Bible.
Times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. That's what I was trying to remember.
God has fulfilled what he foretold through the prophets long ago about the sufferings of his anointed one. And now, you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed and so that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence. For he must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place, fulfilling everything that God said long ago through his holy prophets. So I noticed in reading that, he says you must turn back to God so that your sins will be removed in a very real way. If you don't repent and trust Jesus, you're still living in your sin because of your darkness and the consequences of your choices.
But it's on your side. It's not on God's side.
Yeah, it's been removed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could just hear somebody say, see, it says right there. It does.
Well, it goes back to the filter which you want to read scripture through.
Yeah. Yeah, God has done it. That's what I was saying. And if you can hear that message, you'll repent and believe it.
Yeah. And then you'll begin to live from a different vantage point, reality, experiencing the the resurrected life of Christ.
Our Father's great restoration operation.
And I don't know if this is a way to say it or not. A lot of times we say things, it's like, I don't know how to say it, but as you follow Jesus, you also learn the things he's put to death that I didn't know needed to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. All right, so, I don't know, this is like one of Paul's sentences or something.
Oh, wait a minute now. You're going to get on the level of inspired scripture.
Yeah. No, by that I meant it just goes on and on and
on. Oh, a big run on?
I didn't mean it the other way. Yeah. I'm like, this just goes on and on. But let's see if I might can stop somewhere there. This unfolding plan, deeply rooted in endless love, revealing the unlimited riches of his glory in Christ Jesus through our union with him before time, the hidden mystery, this mystery that was hidden from the ages. Mm-hmm. Just stop right there, but what I'm talking about is the reality that God loves us and that he's revealing his riches in Christ to us in that we are in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to really express that.
Like you did.
Well, God.
Yeah, how do you put it in bold letters, underline it, flashing lights? How do you put emphasis on it where it carries the gravity and the weight that it should?
We are in union.
We're in an an inseparable union.
Inseparable union with him.
The worry or fear of that is gone. But that goes back to the lie of separation has indoctrinated us that we struggle to believe that we are actually in union with God.
Yeah, Paul talked about that hidden mystery that was veiled, but now is revealed, and it's Christ in you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's in us because we were in him from the time beginning. We got started in him. And he in us goes back to that life. In him was life. Do you have life?
Mm-hmm.
In him was life. You can't have life without him. It's not separated from him. It's in him. It's through him and by him and to him. Scripture says that.
Yes.
One of the things that the Lord has really been ministering to me about is the fact that all of this was done before time.
Yeah.
He knew us and loved us before in Christ.
Right. He's always been on plan A. And he's never changed his mind about us.
Uh-uh.
The idea about God's never changed his mind about us because I was told different. And everybody I know changes their mind, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody I know is immutable like God. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
There are words in the scriptures that you have to be careful how you interpret. Because Genesis 6, it repented God that he made man, you know. So if you got a little bit of a faulty idea to start with, and then you add that on it, you get a little more faulty. Of that, and then somebody tells you that Jesus had to go to the cross because God was so mad at you, he's fixing to, you know, send you to hell if Jesus didn't come in and stand in and take your punishment. You know, you hear that all your life. It takes a while to repent, get a different way of thinking, and realize, no, God's never thought that way. He's never, from the beginning, He's on plan A. He created us in love. He created us to love us. We abide in his love. There's not, and it's unconditional. Mm-hmm. It's because he is love. We don't work for it or earn it. We just receive it and give it away and return it back. And he's not determined to punish those who don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Yeah, think about, I'm going to read these two verses. Remember I told you I was reading Ephesians when I wrote this. Yeah. I'm going to read these two verses and you tell me what it says that we have to do so that we can somehow or another get in on that. Mm-hmm. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence.
Mm-hmm.
That was all done before he did anything.
Right. That's his eternal intention, plan, desire that's unfolding, that we are awakening to, we're beginning to see.
But it's all in love.
Yeah.
We find later, according to his great pleasure, mm-hmm. according to the riches of his grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is love and grace and pleasure?
Right.
That's a vast different view of the God I grew up with.
Well, one, before we grew up, you just read from the Passion.
We can't read that verb.
Yeah, it was a paraphrase.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love he has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.
Winds howl through the narrow lane. The faith lights up the darkened plain. God's goodness as our guide.